Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. I'm
going
to play football.
Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Ladies and gentlemen of Steeler Nation, wherever you may be listening to this podcast, whether it's live, whether it's on your handheld device, my name is Jeff Hartman, editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, and we welcome you to another edition of the BTSC, BehindTheSteelCurtain.com flagship podcast, The Standard is the Standard. And joined with me, as always, my co-host out on the West Coast, Color Rush Lance Williams. Lance, go ahead and say hello, but I really want to know what you think now that the Color Rush uniforms have been released.
I love them, but I'm a little disappointed. I'm not really able to tell the difference. Let me frame it this way. I like the whole uniform. I like the black pants with the gold stripe on the side with the jersey. But the jersey itself is very similar to the 75th anniversary jersey that I already have. So I don't know if I'm going to purchase the Color Rush jersey, and I also have a general rule with jerseys. I don't buy current players. I only buy legends. So if I do get a Color Rush jersey, I want a Troy Polamalu, a Rod Woodson, or a Mean Joe Green. So if they come out with the legendary guys, I may get a Color Rush.
Yeah, you know, when I saw the mock-ups that you can look on Steeler Shop or NFLShop.com, and you're right, they do look a lot like those throwbacks. The only difference is that they have the number high on the shoulder for the shoulder pad number, and then they also have the patch, I believe, still on the chest, on the upper left chest. And I think the pants are going to make it, though. You know, everyone always hates on the Steelers' Bumblebee uniforms, and someone told me once, they said, if they didn't have brown pants, I bet a lot of people would like them. And I agree with that. I think that if they didn't have the brown pants, that a lot of more people would think those Bumblebee uniforms are a little bit more attractive. But I thought they were cool. As a whole AFC North, I thought they were the best. I mean, the Browns don't look any different. They're ugly-ass brown uniforms. The Cincinnati Bengals somehow managed to get uglier uniforms. And then the purple people eaters, the purple team that's coming, the Ravens, they look like the Tooth Fairy is what I said on Twitter. As if they look like a tooth fairy out there. I mean, it looks bad, man. It's horrible. And that's going to be on Christmas Day. You're going to see all black and all purple. That's going to be
That's terrible. And when you put all black and all purple, it becomes the Ravens show. That's a little bit unfair. Conspiracy theory. Right. See, I'm going to even start it right now. Conspiracy. The NFL has it out for the Steelers. They don't want the Steelers to win 7 championships.
Absolutely.
I'm starting it right now. I'm claiming it.
Go for it, and James Harrison plays for the Steelers, and Roger Goodell hates James Harrison, so there you go. Book it right there. We just said it. All right. Let's get into things. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of our show, I just want to mention that we are still sponsored by Frank Walker Law, the top criminal defense attorney in Western Pennsylvania and Northern West Virginia, home of one of the nation's top 100 ranked trial attorneys in Frank Walker. We are going to be hearing more from that gentleman later on in the show, but before we move on to the Bengals, and this is really a preview show, you know, that last night we had a great show, a call-in show. And unfortunately, if you weren't listening last week, we're not going to take callers anymore on this show. We want to keep it streamlined. We want to keep it moving. We had a call-in show the day after the Steelers hangovers, our very first show. I get we probably had about 15 callers through the course of the hour. It was great, good dialogue. And we really talked about the Redskins game. I don't want to dwell too much on it because we're already kind of moving on to week two. Talk about grades, okay? Leave general consensus out of it. Let's talk about grades. You do the defensive side. You can either pick all of the front seven, linebackers, defensive front, secondary, whatever. I'd like to know what your grades were for the defensive side of the football.
Let me break it down in terms of positives and negatives. And I'll give you a positive, three positives, three negatives. The positives, because I always like to start out with the positives, particularly when they win. I think you should always look at it from a positive framework. When they lose, you should look at the negative side first. So the positives, the three, Shazier. I thought Ryan Shazier was outstanding in the game. Only thing I would say about Ryan Shazier in the game, he has to tackle better. Overall, I thought as a defense, the speed was palpable. You could really see just how fast this defense is and kind of what they have in mind for this defense as it tries to combat modern spread offenses in the National Football League. They were able to get a lot of hats to the ball, and they were flying around. So I was very impressed with that. Also, I was very impressed with the red zone defense. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. With the offense you saw in this ball game, Washington moved the ball effectively in spots in the game, but did not score touchdowns. The Steelers did score touchdowns. That's why the score looked like it. In terms of negatives, I thought the one big negative on the defense, I don't want to be too hard on him. It was his first start with Sean Davis. A lot of missed tackles. Targeted, I believe, 8 times. Gave up 7 catches. So I think he has to clean up some stuff. I thought the pass rush was lacking. But I think part of that was the plan. But when a guy drops back more than 40 times, you've got to get more than one quarterback hit. And if anybody listened to the comments of Cam Hayward after the game, he was absolutely pissed off. You would have never thought it was a win. And he has the right to be pissed off. They've got to be more disruptive with the pass rush. And overall, the unit has to tackle better. They got a lot of guys to the ball, but often, more often than not, the first guy was missing a tackle. Luckily, they have the type of team speed where they can gain tackle and rally to the football. Overall, giving up under 17 points in a National Football League game with rookie guys playing on the road against a unit with quality weapons like Washington and I wouldn't say very good quarterback, but definitely a top 15 guy, I believe, in Kirk Cousins. I would grade the overall performance of the defense with a solid B+. But there's a lot of room for improvement, primarily with tackling and pass rush.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I did want to bring up a couple things and talk to you about the defensive performance of last week's game. I know you're a defensive guy. For those that are new to the show, Lance typically focuses on the defense. They had a really unique response, or I should say approach, to this game, and it was very evident. They hardly ever blitzed. I want to say that L.J. Ford's quarterback hit on Kirk Cousins, which equated an incomplete pass, it almost looked like a fumble at one point, was really the only blitz that they sent, a timed blitz that sent an extra pass rusher. They dropped everyone back into the zone. They knew that the statistics showed that Kirk Cousins struggles against a zone defense. What were your thoughts on the approach? What were your thoughts on the execution? Because you mentioned Sean Davis, and yeah, the tackling was certainly lacking. Lawrence Timmons missed a couple big tackles as well. Sean Davis played a lot of snaps, though. I want to say he played 79% of the defensive snaps. What were your thoughts on the approach, the execution, and the overall scheme in the game for the defensive side of the football?
I thought the approach was solid, but, 4 red zone trips, that's a lot. I mean, that's not a terrible number. They won the football game. Playing zone, when you have a slot corner at Sean Davis, you have Cockrell and Gay as your corners. I mean, you're going to have to play large spells of zone. But I think when they look at it, although the plan was solid, they don't want to give too many quarterbacks that amount of time to dissect and pick apart that secondary. That secondary moving forward is going to need more pass rush. I think part of it, Kirk Cousins was a little off you know, maybe he would look better against them week four. He looked a little rusty, not very sharp, you know, but it worked. And it's hard to argue with the result and a win. They're 1-0. They gave up under 17 points. So it was a sound strategy.
Yeah, I don't think this is a week-in, week-in strategy either. I think this is very much tailored to who they were playing and the quarterback they were facing. I think that if, and we're going to talk about this, I think they're going to be dialing up the pressure on Andy Dalton this week at Heinz Field. But let's go to the offensive side of the football. That's typically what I focus on. And on the offensive side of the football, I think that honestly, when I look at the performance, it's easy to just say, well, really, what went wrong? Well, the early portions of the game went wrong. The beginning of the first quarter, the Steelers came out, and they did, Lance, exactly what you wanted them to do when we talked last week. They went no huddle. They were running and gunning, and the problem was is they were going three and out. And when you have a defense that kind of bend doesn't break, and they're going to give up first downs, and they're going to, you know, held them to field goals, but long drives, they were gassed. And so finally, it wasn't until the Steelers scored their first touchdown, which was Antonio Brown's catch on 4th-and-1, that they slowed down the pace. They kept the no huddle, but they used the muddle huddle. They took their time. They utilized matchups. I thought that the start was bad. They need to start better on Sunday against the Bengals if they expect to win. But ultimately, if I'm going to grade everything, I mean, I'll go group by group. Offensive line, A+, period. They gave up one sack. They had a rusher for 143 yards. Roethlisberger threw for 303 touchdowns. Unbelievable job. I thought that the tight ends did a great job blocking. The tackles were solid. Everyone just played well. I would say the quarterback, Roethlisberger, was a little bit erratic. I'd give an A. Running backs and skilled position wide receivers, I'd give them an A as well. It was a great performance. Overall, I'd give them an A. Phenomenal performance. What were your thoughts on the offense, even though I know you don't, you're not a huge offensive guy?
I mean, they were 100%, I believe, in the red zone. I think they were 4-for-4 in the red zone. They're 9-of-14, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. On third down, I mean, that's outstanding. I mean, that's outstanding efficiency. If you go 4-for-4 in the red zone, you're over 60% on third down. I mean, it doesn't really get much better than that. 300-yard passer, 140-yard rusher. On top of the fact you do it on the road, with very young pieces in Eli Rogers and Sammy Coates. So it was an offensive display, one that only bodes well moving towards the future when they add more integrated pieces and more experienced pieces and when they come back and when Sammy Coates and Eli Rogers get better. Had the small miscommunication early in the game, but when those guys get better and they add Bell and Green comes back, I mean, the sky's the absolute limit for this offense. But I think what most impressed me in this game was that 4-minute drill. When Washington came back to get within one score and that 4-minute offense, that 4-minute drill, 4-minute offense to seal the game and get the 31 points, I thought that was fantastic. That is championship offense. That's how you close a game out. You keep your defense off the field. You end the game with points. And that's going to be critical moving forward with a very young defense. That this offense is going to have to take the bull by the proverbial horns, score points, and close games out.
Well, you know, the funny thing is when you look back at the game, you see the Steelers, you were right, third down efficiency 9-for-14. Fourth down, they were 2-for-2. Red zone, they were 3-for-3. It was pretty much, I mean, like I said, you're not going to complain too much about that offensive output. But, you know, they dominated time of possession, 33 minutes to 26. Total yards, 435 to 384. It was a very, very good showing, but the start was worrisome. But what worried me also was in the second half, the Steelers get the ball, they go down, and they kick a field goal to extend their lead. And then the next time they get the football, it's almost like, and I said this on Twitter at the time when I was running the Behind the Steel Curtain Twitter feed, here they go again, run, run, pass. They didn't get aggressive, and what ended up happening, they had to punt the football away. That's when Washington goes down and scores, and all of a sudden, there has to be a sense of urgency again. I would really like to see this offense keep the pedal down the entire game. And they did that with the last possession. They could have easily gone run, run, pass like they had been. But instead, they ran it down their throats. And that was part of the 70-plus yards that D'Angelo Williams gained in the fourth quarter. So that was good to see. I want to go back to last week. I don't have all of them together with us here. But we talked about what it would take for the Steelers to win. And I want to say that you said if the Steelers are plus one in turnovers, they would win, correct?
Yes, I did.
And they were plus one. Washington had two interceptions or two turnovers, and there were two interceptions, and Pittsburgh had one. I think I said that if D'Angelo Williams rushes for over 100 yards, that the Steelers would win. He rushed for 143. I think that we hit the nail on the head, my friend. I think we did a good job with our what-ifs last week.
What do you know, Jeff? We know a little bit about football, and particularly Steelers football. What do you know? What do you know? We're not just doing this show for our looks.
People have told me I've got a great face for radio, so be careful what you ask for, all right? Now,
hey, me too.
So kind of putting a bow on week one, I want to say if you're giving a game ball to one person, you're saying, here you go, game ball goes to you, you're in the locker room with the team, everyone's hooping and hollering, who are you giving your game ball to for week one?
Both sides of the ball or just one guy for both
just
for the whole team?
You get one.
It's D'Angelo Williams. It's D'Angelo Williams. Man, you're 33 years of age, and you ball for 142 touchdowns, grind the team out in the fourth quarter. I mean, that guy's feet are incredible. I mean, you got to give that guy the game ball. If I had to give a defensive game ball, I'd give it to Ryan Shazier as well, but I'm giving it to D'Angelo Williams. Outstanding performance.
Absolutely. I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to give it to the offensive line. They were the ones that kind of made the plays, so to speak, that never get talked about. D'Angelo Williams, the AFC Offensive Player of the Week this week. Roethlisberger is going to be nominated probably for the FedEx Player of the Air Player of the Week, whatever all that crap is. It's the offensive line. I'd be giving it to them. All right. So that's week one. Now we're going to talk about week two. You don't need to hype this game up any more than it's already being hyped up. The Cincinnati Bengals are coming to town. The last time we saw the Cincinnati Bengals, the last time we talked about the Cincinnati Bengals when it comes to a game, was that ridiculous wild card game in Cincinnati in the rain. A.J. McCarron, Ben Roethlisberger goes down. He comes back onto the field riding a white steed. Okay, I made that part up. But he ends up saving the day, and they end up winning and advancing to the AFC divisional round. My first question for you has nothing to do with X's and O's. It has nothing to do with predictions. Guess in a way, my question is, when you look at this game, I have a view of how I think it's going to play out. Do you think this is going to be one of those games that is clean, that it's just going to be a very typical, it's going to be a hard-hitting game, but it's not going to be out of the realm of normalcy? Do you think this is going to follow that lead, or do you think this is going to be another bloodbath?
I think it's going to be a bloodbath.
Really?
There is legitimate bad blood between these two teams. And I think it's going to be a bloodbath, but I think it's going to be played from whistle to whistle. I don't think you're going to see some of that Vontaze Burfict nonsense, but it's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be extremely physical, and these teams are going to get after it. This is a divisional game. The Bengals hate the Steelers. Excuse me. The Bungles hate the Steelers. Excuse me. I should never call them by their name until they earn it. But, you know, that team with those orange stripes or those black stripes and the orange, the Bungles, it's going to be nasty. It's going to be downright nasty. Divisional, they don't like each other. Steelers knocked them out of the playoffs. It's going to be downright nasty, but it's not going to be dirty. Nobody's going to get hurt, all that type stuff, other than, you know, normal nicks and bruises associated with football. But it's going to be nasty, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think so. I personally just think that the NFL is probably going to – I think they probably already sent a message to both of these teams saying, look, we're not having this again. It's not going to be the same game that was the second time and the third time they played in 2015. I expect them not to be choir boys. There's going to be some jawing. You know Vince Williams and Mike Mitchell on the field. They're going to be jawing at the other team. And I think that it's going to be chippy, but I don't think you're going to see anything crazy. Now, the second time they meet at the back end of the season, well, that's a different story altogether when Vontaze Burfict's back and Le'Veon Bell gets his shot at redemption. But still, I think it's going to be interesting. So let's take a look at this game from an X's and O's standpoint, from a football standpoint. The Cincinnati Bengals pose an extreme threat for the Steelers, especially based on their skill set players, or their skill players, I should say. They lost a lot of players, too, though, on offense and defense and coaching staff. Hugh Jackson, who was offensive coordinator, did a tremendous job with Andy Dalton, is now the head coach of the Browns, which is a hell of a job. But anyways, Mohamed Sanu left. Lewis left. I wonder if he has his name, Lewis. Reggie Nelson is gone. Lance, what are your thoughts about the game from offense and defense? Doesn't matter. We'll focus on the defense in a second when we get to our matchups, but how do you think these two teams kind of square up against one another? They're kind of similar in a lot of ways. What do you think?
I mean, they still got those outstanding players on the defensive line. Dunlop, Geno Atkins, they mix in Marcus Hutt. I mean, you still got Giovanni Bernard. You've got Hill. You've got Andy Dalton. So you still got a lot. You got A.J. Green. Let me not forget him. You still got a lot of the pieces. Tyler Eifert is still there. So they still have a lot of the pieces that make them an outstanding team and make them a team with an outstanding roster. I mean, if, you know, you just named the guys that I named. There's not many teams that could field, you know, 10 players of that caliber on any football team. So they're still a very talented bunch, and it's going to be a big challenge for the Steelers to go to 2-0 in week two of the season.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. Andy Dalton looks better. I watched a lot of their game against the Jets, and although there were some glaring deficiencies in the Cincinnati Bengals, there was also some really, really scary aspects in terms of the way they're going to be facing the Steelers on this Sunday. I think the fact they're playing at Heinz Field and it's a 1 o'clock game is big. But let's get right into the matchups. You like to go first. Go ahead. Defensively, we know who the threats are. We're talking about, obviously, Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard, A.J. Green. I want to know from you, how do you expect the Steelers to try to counteract some of those weapons?
Let me break it down, and I'm feeling frisky. So I went into my numbers bag. I'm feeling frisky already, and a lot of this is based on a lot of research that I did last year, you know, in breaking this down, because we had three games between the teams last year, week one, week two, and the wild card game. What I'm going to do is really get after Dalton with a lot of A-gap pressures to get him off of his spot, use A-gap blitzes and A-gap, A-B-gap line games and stunts. You know, in the two matchups, in the first game, the Steelers had 3 sacks, 6 quarterback hits, and in 41 pass plays, they hit Andy Dalton every 4.6 pass plays. In the second matchup, very similar numbers, 3 sacks, 6 quarterback hits, and 40 pass plays. So that's almost a quarterback hit or a sack every 4.4 pass plays. I think in this game, and when you watch the game, I think Hayward, McCullers, and the guys up front have some significant advantages against Zeitler, Bodine, and Bowling. So I think they can dominate that matchup. But they've got to get Andy Dalton off his spot, and they've got to get Andy Dalton moving and get his feet moving. Although he has good movement in the pocket, he's more of your classic. He wants to get back on his back foot in timing, rhythm, and anticipation, and make those throws. In terms of the running game, they're going to have to stop the run with 7 in the box, because they're going to have to account for A.J. Green. And you don't want to be in a lot of cover 1 or cover 3 with a single high safety with A.J. Green screaming at you. We saw what happened last week when A.J. Green was screaming top speed at the safety from the Jets. He didn't backpedal, and Revis gets beat, and his face is plastered all over SportsCenter as if it was his responsibility and his fault. So the Steelers are going to have to stop the run with 7 in the box. In the 3 games, Jeremy Hill ran for 34 times for 126 yards for an average of 3.7 with a long of 21.7 on average. Giovanni Bernard ran it 13 times for 80 yards with 6.2 yards per carry. As a group, they ran it 47 times for 206 yards or 4.4 yards per carry and a touchdown. That sounds a little bit worse than it was, but if you watch the game, you get the sense that they pretty much handled the Bengals' running game. If they can handle the Bengals' running game with 7, you can add or accommodate or try to handle A.J. Green with an extra defender. And last but not least, and I always give you guys a rhyme, to break these games down. And the rhyme is simply this. If you want to win the game, you better put some respect on A.J. Green's name. We saw the work that he did last week against the Jets. I don't have the exact quote that Tomlin made, but Tomlin said, basically, we knew who he was before last week. Game one last year, and this is the game that they have to avoid this year. 17 targets, 11 receptions, 118 yards with a touchdown, a long of 38. In the next two games, he caught 17 balls. He had 17 targets, 11 receptions in game 71 in the third, and a long of 66 in the A.J. McCarron comeback game, or when A.J. McCarron came in for a touchdown. He's had a touchdown in all three matchups. His total numbers for the three games last year, 34 targets, 22 catches, 321 yards, a 15-yard per catch average, and three touchdowns. He's going to get his. You just can't allow him to wreck your game where he has three touchdowns, 190, and you just can't stop him. He's moving the chain. He's hitting you over the top. You can't have a game like he had last week against the Jets. So what I think they're going to do is they're going to try to get as much pressure in the A and B gaps with the front four and with the linebacker, and also try to play a lot of zone, some cover two, maybe some quarters. You're still going to see some cover three looks, but they're going to try to really not get beat on the back end with A.J. Green in cover one or cover three. I think they can handle the Bengals, but they really have to handle the run with seven, because if they can't, then it's going to be really tough on them. But I think they're going to play the Bengals really well on defense and play a really solid. They did a really good job with the Bengals last year on defense, and I think they'll do the same this year.
Well, I sure as heck hope so, because the Steelers' defense, it might be what ultimately dictates this game. And folks, that's as good as a defensive breakdown as you're going to get. Lance always breaks it, and he gives you a freaking rhyme. I mean, think about that. I mean, you're not just getting a breakdown talking about A gap, B gap. If you don't know what that is, look it up. You should know if you're a football fan, but still, there's the defensive side. Now let's talk about the offensive side of the football. For me, it's something where I wanted to bring this up right away, because I think the offense can really help the defense. And that's by not just getting a lead. I think that's really important this game. If they can get a lead, if they can come out, and they've done this in the past. I want to say it was the first game that Roethlisberger came back, the first game against the Bengals in 2015. They had the Bumblebees on at home at Heinz Field. Roethlisberger leads them down on a beautiful drive. They score a touchdown, and then they don't get in the end zone for the next three quarters. They can get a lead of two scores or more, preferably two touchdowns. It's going to change the Bengals' approach. So you talked about stopping the run, and that's going to be extremely important. If they can make them one-dimensional, it makes the defense's job that much easier. If the Steelers somehow have a three-score lead, and all of a sudden it's in the second half, all of a sudden the Bengals are not going to be able to run the ball as much as they want. Time's not going to be on their side. And so for Pittsburgh, if they can not only get points, but keep their drives going, no three and outs, time-consuming drives. We saw that against Washington. They are capable of doing that against Cincinnati. And the way that they do that is balance. People gave me a lot of crap on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com last week when I wrote about how they need to stay balanced. They need to run the football. And they said, this team is built around the pass. And Lance, you said the same thing last week. They need to stay balanced. They need to keep the defense honest. And ultimately, that'll open up a lot of different avenues for them to move the football. So time-consuming drives, get a lead. And this is something that I heard. I was driving home from work today listening to NFL radio on Sirius XM, and they were interviewing Pete Carroll from the Seattle Seahawks, and he talked about the offense needs to stay on time. And the host kind of asked, well, what do you mean by that? And he said, we always want to be in third and six or less. And I think that was a really good point, and that should be a goal for the Steelers every single week. And so I wanted to highlight that here is that, and I'm thinking every NFL team is probably saying the same thing, but you want to get those crucial first and second down runs that are going to get you in third and manageable. That's when the Steelers thrive, when they have options to run, to pass, when they don't have to go for those third and 13s, which they did convert a couple of those against the Redskins. Stay on time. So again, stay balanced, stay on time in terms of manageable third down situations, and then ultimately get a lead, time-consuming drives that help the defense not only stay fresh, but it turns the offense of the Bengals into a one-dimensional machine. Those are my offensive keys. I think that the Steelers' offense matches up well with almost any defense. The Bengals typically get after Ben Roethlisberger, so the offensive line is going to be hyper-focused on pass protection. But if you run the football, it's going to slow down the pass rushers. We've known that from time to time. So, Lance, do you have anything to add about the offensive outlook of this game?
I think the other thing you have to add is Ben can't turn the ball over. I mean, in that second game, some of the turnovers were bad, especially in the fourth quarter. I mean, they had that game won. And that was a very interesting game because Cincinnati got a pick six call back after a guy false started for this. It was a really weird game. Ben was coming back off of an injury, but he had the bad pick on the sideline. Then he followed it up on his next throw with a pick to Reggie Nelson. And Reggie Nelson's not playing. He's no longer with the Bengals. And he had at least two or three picks against Ben last year. So maybe Ben won't throw as many picks against the Bengals. Pressure on Ben Roethlisberger. That matchup between DeCastro and Geno Atkins is going to be big. And those ends in Dunlop and Michael Johnson are tough. But, you know, I think the Steelers will be able to get it done and be able to handle them on the offensive side of football. But like you said, they've got to stay balanced and they've got to stay committed to the running game, because if they make the Bengals have to stop the running game by dropping a safety in the box, you know, that matchup between Antonio Brown and Fitzpatrick is really an advantage to Antonio Brown and the Steelers. But again, I think the Steelers are going to have to get a couple of plays from Rodgers, Sammy Coates, maybe take the top off the defense of the Bengals. But, you know, I think, again, this is going to be a real tough matchup. But the only thing I would add would be Ben can't turn the ball over. That's
yeah.
something that he can't do.
Well, a couple things that are factors to keep in mind, it doesn't have anything to do with the turnovers, is it looks like Marcus Wheaton is going to play. He missed week one with a shoulder injury. He was a full participant today in practice. And secondly, the Steelers didn't have Marquise Pouncey last year. And so you talk about Geno Atkins, and he goes head-to-head with the center a lot, not all the time, but a lot. And I think Pouncey is going to be a difference maker in this game, on the run game as well as pass protection. I think that the Steelers are going to benefit definitely from having their all-pro back on the field. If he can stay healthy, knock on wood, I just did for all you superstitious fans listening, I think that the Steelers' offense is going to match up okay with the defense. This is going to be a really tough test for them. And then, you know, you go from the Washington defense where their secondary was certainly not as capable, but the Bengals' secondary is not that great either, especially when you lose a player like Reggie Nelson. It's all in their front seven. So if you can work Antonio Brown with the middle of the field, and if they're going to try to take Antonio Brown away by double-teaming him all the time, Wheaton, Coates, especially Eli Rogers, should be able to find the middle of the field. And don't sleep on Jesse James, folks. That's what I keep on telling people. The guy was targeted, I want to say, seven times in the week one game against Washington. He has shown that he has good hands. He's going to be a factor in this game. Look for him in the red zone. I think that he might be the X factor, so to speak, in this upcoming game. So before we get to our predictions, Lance, for the game, think about quickly, if you will, what it will take for the Steelers to win in this game. We did this last week. We talked about it a little bit earlier. You said the Steelers have to be plus one turnover. I said if they rushed for 100 yards, they would win. What is it in your mind that if the Pittsburgh Steelers go ahead. Do you want to say something else?
I'm chopping at the bit, baby. I'm ready. I'm chopping
go
at
for
the
it.
Bit.
Get it. Get
I'm
after
ready.
It.
I'm ready. I'm going to give you two numbers. I'm going to go back with my plus one on turnovers. They have to win a turnover battle. That's an easy one. But also, I'm going to give you three numbers. They have to win the sack battle. They got to be plus one in sack. All right, that's another one. And I'm going to give you that they have to be plus two in big plays. And that's plays of 20 yards or more on offense. Two additional big plays, one additional sack, one additional turnover. If they do those three things, they'll win, and it'll probably be a rout. If they do any one of those, especially the turnovers, they'll win as well.
Okay, now mine's going to be tied together. And it's going to be very similar to week one, and it's going to be offensive-driven. Surprise, surprise, I love the offensive side of the football. In my opinion, if D'Angelo Williams again rushes for over 100 yards, and this is going to sound really crazy, but if Ben Roethlisberger throws for less than 300 yards, the Steelers are going to win the game. And that's because when Roethlisberger goes over 300, a lot of times he takes a lot of unnecessary risks. A lot of times he has a lot of interceptions accompanying that. And that's why his record when he goes for over 300 yards is not the best. So if D'Angelo Williams can run the football and they can lean on that running game, he goes over 100. And if Roethlisberger stays just underneath that 300 yards mark, he's going to throw for touchdowns. He's going to be more accurate because he's not going to be pushing it down the field as much. And you think back to last season, that first game, you know, the first interception, or that I don't know, it was the first one. It wasn't the first one, the second one. Interception to Reggie Nelson where he's trying to bomb it down the field. It just was an errant throw. It wasn't necessary. Those are the throws that he makes typically that end up being the killer for this team. So it's kind of, people might hear that and say, you're nuts. But look up his record when he has throws for over 300 yards, and the Steelers' record win those games. It's not very good, not very good at all. So there you have it. Lance gave you his. Win the turnover battle, +2 on splash plays, plus one on sacks. Okay, and I gave you D'Angelo Williams over 100, Ben Roethlisberger just a tick under 300, and the Steelers should win. I could be wrong. He could throw for 500, and they could win, and that would be phenomenal. I'm not going to complain. But let's get to our predictions. Lance, last week you picked the Steelers to win in a shocking upset in a lot of our eyes because you never picked the Steelers. But go ahead. What is your prediction for this week? Mr. Negativity, you have the floor.
I'm going to pick the Steelers again to win.
Holy cow.
I'm picking the Steelers to win. I'm picking the Steelers to win this game 24-21 in a late winning field goal. I think they're a better team than the Bengals. And what I'm starting to see with this football team is, regardless of the weapons that they have, and they have a bunch of them, but ironically enough, they don't all typically play together. That, and you say it over and over, Seven is playing the best football he has in his life. If you give Seven time and pass protection, they're going to get you. Defenses that can stand up. If they get pass pro, they're going to get you. And, you know, you say D'Angelo Williams close to 100. I think he could get you 80. If he can get you 80 on about, you know, 17 carries, that's good enough of a run threat to open everything up. And, you know, if he doesn't turn the ball over, I think they're just going to beat the Natty. I think they're a better team. I think offensively it's going to look similar to the second matchup. And defensively it's going to kind of look like a mix and match and a blend of all three, where that front four was able to really do a lot of good work, you know, and really challenging the gaps against them. So, you know, I think that's what it's going to look like. And I think the Steelers are going to get a hard-fought, tough divisional victory in their home opener.
You know, for me, I'll go back to my if this happens, the Steelers win. You said 80 yards with D'Angelo Williams. I'll give you that. But then I'll go ahead and add on to that and say over 120 all-purpose yards. If he can be a factor in the receiving game like Le'Veon Bell, that's when, if you go back when Le'Veon Bell got hurt against the Bengals, when D'Angelo Williams did most of his damage, it was basically that safety valve. You know, plays breaking down, Ben dumps it to D'Angelo, and he broke off a couple nice runs after the catch. So if he can get 40 yards receiving, 80 yards rushing, I think that would go a long way to keeping the Bengals certainly playing honest in terms of not crowding the box, not dropping everyone back into coverage. They'd have to be honest. You don't know what's coming. So I'll give you my prediction. Surprise of the century, you know, breaking news. I'm going to take the Steelers to win, always do. I think that the Steelers are going to win this game. I think it's going to be higher scoring than most people think. Some are predicting 16-10 or something like that. I'm going to say it's going to be 31-24. I think they're going to win by a touchdown. Now, the Steelers are favored by 3.5 points. That was the last line that I saw. 3.5 points. If you follow gambling, they typically give 2.5 to 3 points to the home team. So they think this is a pretty close game. I think the Steelers get a turnover. They turn that into a touchdown, and I think that's what ultimately seals the deal for them. I wouldn't be shocked if they're up by two scores. Cincinnati gets a late score and makes it interesting, but I don't think the Bengals are where the Steelers are in terms of offense, and I like the offense versus the Bengals defense more than I do the Bengals offense versus Steelers defense. So I think they're going to get pressure on Dalton. Like I said, 31-24, Pittsburgh wins. They go to 2-0, and then they go to on the road again to Philadelphia to play the Eagles in week 3, Carson Wentz. So it's going to be interesting, Lance. Any last thoughts on the game coming up in week 2?
If the Steelers can get to 2-0 and be in a position to go on a road and face a rookie quarterback and a Philadelphia team that's average at best, if they can get to 3-0 with Le'Veon Bell out, that's what I'm talking about if you want to win a 7th world championship and you want to have a number one seed. That's how you do it. You take care of these games with Le'Veon Bell sitting at home. You can do that. That's the catalyst to a fantastic season and one in which could be very special.
Yeah, I mean, I said this on the show last night, the Steelers hangover that we had. We had a caller call in and talked about how he feels like the Steelers are due for a run, and that's the truth. The Steelers haven't won 4 or 5 games in a row in a long time. I think it goes back to 2014, the year that they won the AFC North. But even last year, the longest streak they had, I believe, and I'll go back and double check, I want to say it was just 2 games, 3 maybe at the most. I've wanted the Steelers to be one of these teams that comes out of the gate strong for years now, but it always seems like they're the team that's 2-1, and then they're 3-2, and then they win a couple, and they're 4-2, and they're just kind of always trying to hover, stay above that 500 line. I feel like they're due for a stretch where they just really turn it on and really get going, and maybe this is it. And the question then would become, can they do that for the long haul? But that's where I look at if you have players like Bell coming back, if you could get Dupree back on the football field, if Golson might be able to come back and help out, if Ladarius Green can come off the PUP list and actually play and be a significant factor, that's only going to help you down that second half. It's going to make your team more dynamic. So when they say, can they do it for the long haul? Well, they're going to have a different looking team in the second half, and that's exciting for me. But with that said, Lance, I always give you the soapbox. I get like you talk to Steeler Nation one last time before the game. What are your final thoughts on this upcoming game or anything really that you want to talk about in regards to the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2016?
So, you know, I have to take people down a bit. That's just in my nature. Steeler fans, put the pom-poms up. Put the pom-poms up. You do not win a championship by going 1-0. It looked great. They put up 38. They look fantastic, in fact. They're just 1-0. That's all. They are not in the Super Bowl yet. They're just 1-0. So, take it with a grain of salt. Love the victory, but don't make too much of it. Even if they lose this Sunday, they're 1-1. Don't make too much of it. It's still very early in the season. You will know more about this football team at week 4. So I brought you up early in the show. Now I've got to bring you down. Chill. Eat them up, L. Chill. Eat them up, L.
I'll kind of piggyback what you just said and say a little something here, and that is just simply this is the overreaction week of maybe all weeks is the first game. You know, the L.A. Rams lose and they get shut out. Never, they're ready to fire Jeff Fisher. Just calm down, okay? Just calm down and let it play out. And the one thing I want to say, though, is for fans out there is when you're watching these football games, you have a tendency to always look ahead. I already talked about the Eagles game in week 3. Just enjoy every second of every week. It is the shortest season of any professional sport. It is the longest off season of any professional sport. And those of you that know, that off season when you don't win a championship is unbelievably painful. It takes forever. You're focused on stupid rankings, grading draft classes that have never played a down in the NFL. It's just painful. So right now we're at week 2. And a lot of fans are talking about after the bye. No, don't talk. Just play. Just enjoy this week. Enjoy the Bengals game. Take it all in. Don't get so drunk that you forget everything. And then enjoy the week leading up to the next game and just take it all in, because 16 games is going to be over before you know it. Pretty soon, we're going to be celebrating a Christmas holiday. We're going to be talking about the game on Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Day. And then the playoffs are here. Hopefully, the Steelers are in that. But one game at a time, folks. And that's the way the Steelers approach it, and that's the way you should as a fan, because, like I said, before you know it, it's going to be another offseason, and those suck, so enjoy it. But as always, we're going to wrap this show up, keep it nice and tight. I like that. Lance, I thank you for your time, as always, out on the West Coast. I know you're a busy man. I appreciate it. Anyone that's listening, make sure you follow us on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. We've got some really good stuff coming up for you. Hidden Plays, Film Room Session, that's going to be good for you to watch and check out. I've got a film room on those. Scheme of fourth and one, their short yardage situations, that is very, very dynamic. That's going to be coming up in the next couple of days, as well as some great features, good lead-ins, previews on the film room, and all that good stuff for you. A lot of stuff on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, so make sure you check that out. And as always, we always end with this. Go Steelers, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.